for you, Jesus says. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 to 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. And here's the question. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and followed him. May God bless his word this morning. We'll read the second scripture during my message. I want to sing a song for you before I bring my message today. It's a song I wrote quite a few years ago now. And I was in a meeting when the preacher was talking about Jesus being the Savior of the world and what it cost him. And the people that are surrounding the cross and what their emotions were, what their feelings were, because obviously there were so many different people there. The Roman guards that had abused him, those that had, the guard that had thrust the spear into his side. There was his mother was there, the disciples were there. There were those that Jesus had healed. Maybe these three blind men, which we're going to look at shortly. There was laughing, there was joking, there was abusing. But Jesus stretched his arms on that cross, those arms of love. And he died for you and for me. He died for all those people for many, many years that's passed since that day. So I wrote this song shortly afterwards, very inspired by the sermon. And I trust that this will just help you to place yourself at the foot of the cross as you look to Jesus and what those people at that time must have felt. I saw a man with his arms out wide on a cross. I asked him why he was there. He said, "I'm here for the lost." This man was Jesus, the Savior of the world. I saw the blood flow down from his head and his hands. As people looked on, they did not understand that this was Jesus, the Savior of the world. I lift my hands up high to worship the King. I give him my love, give to him everything. I love you, Jesus, Jesus. And as I open my heart to the things he has done, how can I reject God's only Son? I love you, Jesus, Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. I saw that man on a cross, how he suffered and died. He took my sin on himself. I just knelt there and cried, for this was Jesus, the Savior of the world. I heard his dying breath saying, "Father, forgive." I saw the love in his eyes that was willing to give. Yes, this was Jesus, the Savior of the world. Sing the chorus if you can with me. I lift my hands up high to worship the King. I give him my love, give to him everything. I love you, Jesus, Jesus. And as I open my heart to the things He has done, how can I reject God's only Son? I love You, Jesus. Jesus, He's the Savior of the world. Again I looked at the cross, it was cold and bare. The man I saw die was no longer there. I thank You, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now when I think of that man, with eyes of faith I can see that He did it all for You and for me. I thank You, Jesus. Jesus, I lift my hands up high to worship the King. I give Him my love, I give to Him everything. I love You, Jesus. Jesus, and as I open my heart to the things He has done, how can I reject God's only Son? I love You, Jesus. Jesus, He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. Amen. You know, from that day to this, when I sung that song very often, and it kind of always speaks to me. I'm not sure how much we really do realize what Jesus suffered. You know, until you suffer yourself in any way or any form, you cannot understand. And people did look on and they didn't understand. This was a man that came into this world. We've just celebrated his birthday at Christmas. I was mentioned about him growing up and as a young man dying on a cross, which is what this song is all about. And you know, we came to an understanding ourselves, didn't we, at some point of our lives when we gave our life to Jesus. We acknowledged His love for us. His Holy Spirit filled us. And we've tried to serve Him to the best of our ability from then onwards, haven't we? We've made mistakes. And we've done some good things too. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear when I die. I want to hear those words. If not, I've tried my best. And you know, when I look at these two stories, which we're going to look at right now, I am amazed at how Jesus went about His work. I'm amazed that during those years of ministry, 30 to 33, those 3 years of ministry, He knew the end result. He knew He would get to the point of suffering and that He would die on the cross. A horrific, evil death. But He had a work to do, like you and I. Those 3 years were so important. And during those 3 years, here we have Him showing compassion and love to so many people throughout those 3 years. I mean, what an impact Jesus had. And where it's taken from that day to this. So let's look at these two stories. This first one from Matthew 20:29-34, which I read out just before my song. Two men that was in the right place at the right time. How many times have we ever been in the right place at the right time? And how many times do we hear about people being in the wrong place at the wrong time? That happens too. But you know, God has a plan for you and for me. And he will place us in the right place at the right time for him to minister to us and to bring what we need. And like the question, what do you want me to do for you? Is what Jesus says to us, putting us in that right place at the right time. So just like Bartimaeus, which we're going to have a look at in a short while, these two men sat by the roadside outside Jericho. They sat there every day. They were rejected. That was part and parcel of what they had to come to expect. They would be led to the roadside. They would sit there begging for money to live. They had a deeper need. Countless people entering and leaving Jericho, not bothering to show love or compassion to these people, perhaps a few coins in a jar maybe. Not really bothering to show that love and compassion that Jesus did. I mean, we don't know about these blind men. We don't know if they were blind from birth, whether it happened suddenly, maybe an accident or something like that, maybe an illness. We don't really know. But whatever the circumstances were, they were blind and they couldn't see anything. Nothing at all. Similarities to Bartimaeus. They probably heard of this man called Jesus who could heal the sick. They probably heard that he could be the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for. The one thing that really mattered was that this man, whoever he was, could restore their sight. Just like Bartimaeus, when Jesus passed by, and remember, he's walked past them, okay? They cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They knew that much. They knew that he was the Son of David. They knew that much. They knew that this was the man that would heal them. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And this is where the rejection comes in, because the people, the crowds around, and even the disciples did it at Bartimaeus as well. They told them to be quiet. When you have a need, don't you want to just shout it out? Lord, I need this. I need your help. You know, would you not cry out? They weren't going to take no for an answer. They weren't going to be rejected. They're not going to miss this great opportunity to meet this man who could heal them. They had faith to believe that if he came to them, he would heal them. So what happened? Jesus stops. I love this. And he calls to them. You know, when Jesus acknowledges us in a special way, when we're called, when we're drawn to him, there's something very special and precious. He stops and he calls them and he says, verse 32, what do you want me to do for you? They could have asked for anything, couldn't they? They could have asked for anything. Well, wouldn't mind having more food, perhaps nicer clothing. Don't live very well. Could we have a nice home? Could you provide those things for us? You know, my family don't want to know us anymore. Could you perhaps have a word with the family? They could have asked for anything, couldn't they? But their need was their sight. That was their need. They said, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them. Touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight. I wonder what happened to them after. I've often wondered this. What happened to them after? Did they follow Jesus? I would hope so. Was their lives changed to the point where they'd tell everyone what Jesus had done? I mean, didn't you do that when you first gave your life to Christ? I told everybody. You know, I did. I was youth at the time. And in the church I was at, we used to have a coffee bar and I used to play guitar and sing some songs and tell everyone how much I loved Jesus. And, you know, went off into the youth groups and out in the streets when I met my friends. And, you know, I was rejected by that. I was called a fool, called an idiot. You know, how can you believe that rubbish? We had all that. But you see, the difference was that Jesus had met me. He came into my heart and I was certain that God was there, heaven was there, Jesus died for me, I can have forgiveness of sins, and I want everyone to have that. That was the enthusiasm of youth. Has it really left me? No, not really. Perhaps I've got a little bit more adult in what I do. But you know, we still have that love inside, don't we? And we want people to know. So many people out in that community need to know the love of Jesus. There's lonely people. There's people that are reaching out. If we can only reach out to them, they will respond. So let's look at the second story. Luke 18, verse 35 to 43. Shall we look at that? If you've got a Bible and you want to turn with me, that'd be great. So it's Luke 18, verse 35 to 43. It says, a blind beggar receives his sight, which we know is Bartimaeus. So verse 35 of chapter 18. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what was happening? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me, he said. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. And this time, the Bible tells us, he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. The same question to a different person now. The same question, what do you want me to do for you, Jesus said. The answer is obvious, isn't it? The answer is, Jesus wanted him to say what it was. When he heard that Jesus was near, Bartimaeus called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now this is another man, sat by the roadside many times, maybe even years, days, years, months, we don't know. But this time it was different because Jesus was coming his way. He was going to pass by. He'd heard that the prophet from Galilee who would heal the sick, he believed that if Jesus showed him mercy, he would have his sight restored. It was an amazing encounter with Jesus that he was not going to miss. Jesus, the Son of God, this could be the Messiah. He may have thought to himself as he sat there every day, if only I could meet Jesus, then I know I will see again. That's faith. He had faith to believe. The two blind men before had faith to believe. And interesting that they were on the same road. Perhaps they never ever spoke to each other. The two men would have done, sitting together, Bartimaeus in a different place. But the one thing that brings them together is Jesus passed by. And he healed them. He healed them because he said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want to receive our sight. Think about Bartimaeus when his eyes was open. Think about the two blind men. They'd never seen the sunrise. Maybe before they were blind, perhaps. A beautiful rose. The rose gardens of Jericho. It was very famous. The rose gardens. Never seen a smiling face or the faces of children playing. The flowing of a river. Never seen the stars at night or the faces of their loved ones. What about just looking at other people? All of a sudden, when your sight was restored, I'm sure these blind men, the beauty of God's creation unfolded. We take it for granted, don't we? You know, we have our senses. We may have lost different senses at different times of our life. Sight, hearing, sense of smell, sense of taste. Perhaps physically we struggle. But you know, there's beauty all around us if we've got eyes to see. So here we are again. Same kind of story, Bartimaeus shouting out to Jesus. People rejected him, telling him to be quiet. Shout it from a rooftop if you want God to do something for you. Be quiet, they told him. No way. He wasn't going to be quiet. He shouts louder still. He'd probably been waiting for this opportunity all of his life. No one was going to take it away from him. And what did Jesus do? Your faith has healed you. What did he do after that? He went away praising God, following Jesus, and telling everyone. An evangelist was born. The greatest evangelist for me in the Bible is Paul the Apostle. On this earth would be Billy Graham. I aspire to both those people. And if I could be anything of a small amount of that ministry of those people, if I could do the same as them, and I do try to, that would be my aim. That people would remember me as the person that loved Jesus, that tried his very best to reach others for him. You know, salvation came to those three men. What they did with it afterwards, we don't know. The two men, we don't know if they followed Jesus, but Bartimaeus did. It's what we call redemption. It's physical and spiritual healing. And part of the story is when others saw Bartimaeus. I mean, they must have been amazed. You know, this blind man that they'd probably walked past so many times and thrown a few coins in his bowl. All of a sudden, this man can see. That must have had an impact on people's lives, mustn't it? You know, I very often say about how much our lives affect others. From the very first moment we're born, that little baby, all the potential that little baby could have for its future, affects people's lives. Right up to the day when we leave this world, we affect so many other people. And you know, even afterwards, we're remembered. I pray that people will remember me in a certain way. And I'm sure you do too. We're remembered for the life we lead. The love we have for each other. The love we have for God. For his precious son Jesus. People was affected. They began to praise God too. It says here people were so excited to see him. Now seeing with his own eyes Bartimaeus. We can only imagine what that must have been like. The excitement, the thrill. So let's just draw this to a close. What do you need today from God? What do you need him to do for you today? This very moment. I know what I need. I've reached out to God, and as I've prepared this message, what do you want me to do for you, God says. I say, yeah, I do know things that I want you to do for me, Lord. And I've reached out to him, and I've knelt before him, and I've prayed and asked him. Now I wait for the response. Now I wait for the reply. Now I wait to see what he's going to do. Faith to believe that Jesus knows what's best for us at all times. He always does, even though we can't see it. He does know what's best for us at all times. Jeremiah 29:11. I can't stop quoting that scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you, not to harm you. That's the future for me. I place my life in God's hands, and I've done that recently in a special way. What is your need today? Let me just give you a few thoughts. Do you need forgiveness? Do you need peace of mind? Do you need guidance? Do you need comfort? Do you need encouragement? Do you need healing? Do you need to know him more? Do you need salvation? Jesus is waiting to hear what you want him to do for you today. It takes one simple act of faith to place your trust in him. My final four words says, what will your answer be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thrilled this morning that the way, Lord, that you answer our prayers. It's not always in our way, in our the way we want things done. But Lord, it's always in your time and in your way. And Father God, as we look to you in the coming days for what we want you to do for us, there are things that you want us to do for you. That is to continue to worship you, continue to praise you, continue to love you, to put you first in everything we do, to place you on the highest place we can, which is the throne in heaven. And as your love flows out from that throne to each one of us, I know, Lord, you will answer our prayers in your way and in your time. And whatever plan you have for us, what we're reaching out to you for, I know you'll unfold that plan, that doors of opportunities will open, that, Father God, we'll be able to continue to serve you wherever you lead us, wherever you guide us. Your Holy Spirit goes before. And Father God, may we see your kingdom growing and growing through the love of your Son Jesus and why he came to this world. Your blessing on each one of us, we pray. Pour us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Equip us, we pray, so that, Father God, we may continue to serve you to the best of our ability until that day that you call us home. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.